Hello and welcome to the Farming Advice Service podcast. I'm Laura Harpham, and today we'll be talking to Stephanie Barclay, manager at the Farm Safety Foundation, about the outcome of Farm Safety Week in July, what we learned from this year's campaign, how we as an industry can act on it, and how we can keep people safe and healthy. Particularly appropriate as we're recording this during harvest season, so a busy and potentially more risk-heavy time for the industry. Welcome, Stephanie. Thanks for joining me. Before we get into the detail of our topic today, could I ask you to say a little bit about what you do with the Farm Safety Foundation and how you got involved in this area, please?
Okay, so 10 years ago, I moved from Northern Ireland over to England, and it happened to coincide with the setting up of a brand new charity by NFU Mutual Insurance Company. They wanted to set up a charity to look at the next generation of farmers and teach them better skills in terms of looking after their physical and mental well-being. This was something that just appealed to me because I come from a background in Northern Ireland where most of my friends were farmers or fishermen. I know that both are equally dangerous occupations, and I have friends who've lost members of their family while going to work in one day. So it was something that actually resonated with me really, really quite deeply. So I was very lucky to be successful, and I was the original yellow welly. So although we're 10 years old this year, for the first probably 4 years it was just me, and I was very, very lucky that I had A, the support of a fantastic organization, but B, the opportunity to take the charity in whatever direction I wanted to. So my background being I'm trained journalist, business studies qualifications, but also I've worked for an educational charity for years. So it was a charity about making science interesting for the next generation. So I thought if I can make science sexy, I could possibly make safety sexy and get in front of a whole new audience of people that are making their journey into the industry and embed safety messages and equip them with the skills to live well and to farm well.
Fantastic. I love the idea of making safety sexy. I'll add it as a hashtag when we start promoting this podcast. And it's great to know that you've been in it from the beginning, touch on mental health as well as the more kind of physical aspects of the safety as we talk today. And I know that there's been obviously quite a lot of changes and new challenges over the last few years. So it'll be interesting to hear your perspective on how things have changed and developed, both in terms of potentially the increased pressure, but also hopefully the willingness for people to acknowledge this as something really important and talk about it a bit more openly as well.
Indeed, indeed. They are very linked anyway, so it'll be something that we hopefully people will see that link as we continue the conversation.
Sure, absolutely. Well, many of our listeners will already be aware of Farm Safety Week back in July. Many people will have seen it on social media campaigns and in the farming press. I know there was a big push on Twitter, or X rather, in July for that. For those who aren't aware, or maybe as a recap for people who haven't touched base for a while, could you give us a rundown of what Farm Safety Week is? What does it focus on, and what does it seek to achieve?
So Farm Safety Week, it's an annual campaign that we lead. It's similar to Road Safety Week or Mental Health Awareness Week that people are familiar with. We've been leading it now for over 10 years, and what we're trying to do is just remind those living and working in the industry of the many dangers of working on a farm. It's an industry that's so vital to the economy. It's one we rely on, no matter who we are, 3 times a day. But it actually has the poorest safety record of any occupation in the UK and Ireland. We use it as an opportunity to reset the way we approach farm safety and risk taking. Farmers are so proud of this reputation of being able to fix absolutely anything on their farm, machinery, fencing, you name it. The challenge is now whether they can fix the industry's broken health and safety record.
Okay, and when we spoke earlier, I know I kind of double checked the language that we're using about this, because there's a risk of demonizing the industry. We've seen it in other areas, and obviously at Farming Advice Service, we want to promote the positive stuff, but also recognize that there are some areas of improvement. And describing farming as a dangerous industry, statistically, you're absolutely right. It is one of the biggest risks. Why? why is that, especially when we're comparing it to there are other industries where people are doing lone working and there's heavy machinery involved? What is it about farming that makes it so much more difficult to stay safe?
That's a really interesting one. The fact is, there are more risks associated with farming than any other industry. You cannot make a farm 100% safe, but why shouldn't we try? Many farmers think that they know their own farms and the risks involved in going about their daily tasks. That might be true, but those risks change every day, and the next time things mightn't work out the same way. Our research that we do as part of the work streams that we have in the charity, we do annual research into 750 farmers right across the UK. And last year's figures revealed that 88% of farmers in the UK agree that complacency, as in I've always done it that way, is a major contributor to having a farm accident. I've always done it that way. I'm in a hurry. It costs too much. Those excuses aren't good enough reasons for risk taking, poor maintenance of equipment, or actually just unsafe working behaviours.
Sure. And do you find correlation between the size of businesses? I'm thinking immediately off the top of my head, I know that if I'm doing something that the risk is only to myself rather than if I'm taking care of other people, I probably am a bit more complacent, especially if it's something that I've done before. Is there any suggestion that it's people who are usually only responsible for taking care of themselves rather than a bigger a group of staff members that's a particular risk?
I think if you look at something like we've done a lot of comparisons with construction industry,
Hmm.
and when you have larger concerns, farming concerns, it's that approach that they take it as it's an agricultural business, whereas normal farmers may employ one or two people, may employ family members, and actually they do not look at it as a farm business. So sometimes they don't prioritize those things like risk assessments, whether or not they're dynamic in their head, and it's not about whether it's a risk to you. Is it a risk to you or anybody else? How serious that risk is and who can be affected and how bad that could be. That is what we're trying to get people to do. Now, as you said, this is not a negative, conversation. Although the industry has changed hugely over the last 10 years, what we have seen, there has been a decrease in the number of people who are losing their lives on our farms over the past decade. The figure's not zero. It's not yet, and it maybe never will be, but this is a step in the right direction. We are starting to see safety improvements in some areas, but the pace of change is very slow because this is a cultural change. It's not just an overnight thing. This is trying to embed a culture of safety. The next generation are getting it at colleges because we're delivering that training at the start of their journey. The older farmers are now starting to rethink it as well. And we do need to push something a little bit forward to those older farmers because 40% of the people that lost their lives last year on farms were over the age of 65. So this is something we see every single day of the year, but if we can do this for 1 week in the year, and if that week is Farm Safety Week, then it hopefully gets people to come back, stop, and look at it as a reset. Okay, let's try harder.
And for those people who, yeah, for them, Farm Safety Week might be, as you say, a bit of a reminder or an eye opener of some things that could be done differently. What are you hoping that people will then go away back to their farm businesses and do? Are there particular tools or approaches that you'd be recommending, appreciating that every individual person and every business is going to be different and have different needs?
Absolutely. I mean, everyday farmers make hundreds of risk assessments, hundreds of decisions. Any one of them could be life-changing or life-ending, either for them or somebody they come into contact. So what we want to see is a complete change in that attitude, a change in terms of choosing to value your safety and the safety of those around you, or you can choose to take unnecessary risks. So it might be that is probably the biggest change we need in our industry, the change in the attitude. And it's probably the most personal one. It's your health, it's your safety, it's your choice. So what we're trying to do is actually ask everybody, What could they do? One thing, even if it's one thing every day, to make the farm a safer place to be in and to be working on.
And you mentioned culture change. We know from the other work that the Farm Advice Service does that that's one of the most difficult areas to impact change because often it's very ingrained, especially if people have been working in the same way for years, as you mentioned. And it's not necessarily something that's in the conscious area of people's minds quite often. It's something that people are doing under the surface all the time. So making a conscious decision to think, right, I'm going to do this differently this time is really tricky. Have you got any tips, or is the Farm Safety Week more generally, does it signpost particular ways that people can approach that shift in thought processes?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, 10 years ago, before we were established, before Yellow Wellies, as everybody calls us, was established, nobody was talking about safety. You know, the words health and safety cued an eye roll, didn't it? You know, or a long-winded justification that farming's not like other sectors. Safety isn't something that farmers and farm workers have the time or the money to prioritize. We're talking about this now. You know, it's same as mental health, by the way. You know, nobody was talking about mental health and farming 10 years ago. Now it's commonplace. It's probably easier for people to talk about mental health than it is about farm safety. But when we take a campaign like that, and when we can see that we're getting 560 press clippings about Farm Safety Week in this course of 5 days, when I've done 206 broadcast interviews on local and national radio, local and national television, you know, when we're getting nearly 2 million views of our three videos that we put out on social media, our Farm Safety Week hero film, a story about sepsis. People don't think of sepsis as a farm safety issue. So when we work with the UK Sepsis Trust, because there are farmers out there, sadly, like Hannah Brown, who lost her life, and luckily, like Simon Clayton, who survived an insect bite in the workplace that turned into sepsis that could have taken his life. And he shares his story, and people are watching it and reacting to it. You know, this is something that's important that actually is cutting through, not just, by the way, to the farming audience, but we were mentioned several times in Parliament. Farm Safety Week was actually, there was a special motion on day one of Farm Safety Week that was backed by 12 MPs to recognise the importance of Farm Safety Week. So this is where we've come. So we're seeing a change. We're seeing it being acceptable 10 years down the line, and we're seeing farmers slowly but surely taking those steps to make their farms safer.
Fantastic. So on the right path, moving in the right direction, still some work to do, but yeah, really good progress. And it's great to hear that it's having an impact and raising awareness in other areas as well. You mentioned mental health. I know that the foundation also runs the Mind Your Head campaign. So again, people might have seen this, although it's in February of each year, so a little bit further back in time. Mind Your Head focuses specifically on mental health, which we know and we've spoken about is an increasing issue for many in the industry over the last few years, although also hopefully increasingly less taboo and more of a comfortable topic for people to speak about. It's really important. Can you tell us a little bit about the approach and the impact of the Mind Your Head campaign?
Yes, well, we started Mind Your Head in 2018, if you cast your mind back that far. It was the worry of Brexit that gave us this reason, because any uncertainties in what was going to happen to the UK farming industry as a result of the withdrawal of the Common Agricultural Policy and the EU support, what was going to happen to the industry, what was the export market going to be? There were so many uncertainties that it was causing increased levels of anxiety. So when we were established 10 years ago, one of our main objectives was to support the physical and mental well-being of farming audience. And actually, we knew at that point, when we were talking to many people that had farm incidents and that were affected by farm deaths, there was always an inevitable toll on their mental well-being. But actually flipping that was the reason that they were actually having those accidents, because they were not in the right headspace when they were using that machinery, when they were dealing with those animals. the farming industry itself has experienced turbulent times over the past few years, and this is since 2018, when we found it very difficult to get anybody to talk about their own personal journey. That was very difficult for us to do, but over the years, many more people have felt more comfortable. As you said, we're addressing that stigma, that self-imposed stigma that goes around mental health, and actually informing everybody that everyone has mental health. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but you can be alert to somebody that's struggling. You can be alert to your own signs and symptoms of when you may be struggling with your mental well-being, and actually what you can do. Because the thing is, you know, UK farmers, formidable breed, you know, they're adaptable, they're resilient, they're so hardworking, you know, but actually the commitment they have to working hard, especially things like during harvest when it's almost 24/7, that commitment is coming at a price. Again, back to research, 95% of farmers under the age of 40 believe that poor mental health is the biggest hidden danger facing the industry, and 90% of them would agree that farm safety and mental health are linked. So in the industry that has the poorest safety record of any occupation, looking after your physical and your mental well-being deserves equal airtime.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. We did a podcast, actually not far off from Mind Your Head Week, but last year, with FCN and the RABI, talking about mental health and resilience, and kind of what they'd seen in terms of the challenges, but also the development of comfort in talking about it and the real importance of prioritizing it. So I will link that through in the description of this podcast if anyone would like to go and have a listen. In terms of your recommendations of what people can do, both from a self-care and a seeking support perspective, is there anything that Yellow Wellies would put front and center? Do you work with other organizations if people are feeling like they need some support?
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that you put front and center is education. Educate yourself about what mental health is. What does it look like? What does it sound like? You know, what are the things that you could be looking out for? How do you start a conversation? And for that reason, back in 2018, I wrote a publication called The Little Book of Minding Your Head. Now, since that was written in 2018, it has now gone through, I'm going to say this is the seventh edition of it, because it started off as a 36-page small pocket-sized booklet. It's now over 90 pages long, because what we have done is I have added a full directory of rural support groups and charities, two of which you've mentioned already yourself. But actually, the very important thing is there was nowhere that had that information with their telephone numbers, with their hours of opening, because how can you bring somebody down that road talking about their well-being and actually saying, I can support you, if that helpline is not actually available? Mm-hmm. If they're not open. So this is very important, because in the book that is available in print, I've printed over 36,000 copies of it and distributed them free of charge. We also have it on our website, yellowwellies.org. But also in that, it's a very quick reminder of, this is RABI, this is what they do, this is what they can offer, here's the telephone number. And also a very important thing is, because if they're not okay, and if they are at a crisis point, what can you do? What are the things that you could say to them? And what are the things you definitely don't say to people? Because when you're in that situation, it's very difficult to know how you're going to react. Now, I get phone calls, I get emails, we get messages through our social media channels when people are struggling or they're concerned about somebody. And we do welcome them. We don't have the helpline, because RABI, FCN, Addington, DPJ, RSABI in Scotland, Rural Support in Northern Ireland are set up to do that. But they weren't great at actually shouting about the fantastic work they do.
Mm.
I'm great at shouting about the fantastic work they do, because I totally believe in them, and I think our industry is so lucky to have them. So this is what Mind Your Head was set up to do, was A, to tackle the stigma around poor mental health, to understand the ways you can support your mental well-being on an ongoing basis, also learning about the organisations that are out there that can provide that support at times when they need it.
Brilliant. Thank you. And for anybody who is interested in any of those, or should say interested in need of, really, I will put the links through in the podcast description as well, so you can access those very easily. And I would echo your point, Stephanie, the work that we've done with FCN and RABI in particular, although, as you say, there are lots of other great regional organisations as well. Sometimes our helpline, which is set up to advise people on the rules, farming rules that they have to obey and to signpost funding. Sometimes we get people who are calling up to ask those questions who are actually in crisis or on the edge of crisis for different reasons. And knowing who has the skills and experience to be able to help them through that is really useful for our helpline team as well. So, yeah, we're. So the industry faces some challenges. Actually, there is a lots of support available because there's a recognition that there's a need for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to wrap things up now, but before I finish, I'd just like to ask if there's one particular thing that you hope listeners will take away from listening to this podcast.
Okay. One thing they can take away is that help is there. The resources are there. I have just written a little book of farm safety that covers so many different topics in and around the safety, what is legal, what's not legal, but it's written in plain English that sits alongside the little book of Minding Your Head. It's, I mean, and this is not shoes on the carpet telling boots on the ground what to do. You know, we would never do that. We don't say farmers must do this because we're not fans of that. But it is important that farmers are aware of the important legal obligations so that they can go about their tasks safely. You know, it's about how they value themselves. They're great at looking after their livestock, their land, and their machinery. Farmers aren't that good at looking after themselves, you know, the most important asset on the farm. So it's about choosing to value your safety and the safety of those around you and change your attitude. And that is probably the biggest challenge we have, because only when we change our attitudes to farm safety will we see a change in the number of people that are losing their lives or losing their limbs on our farms. And that's a change worth making.
Completely agreed. Thank you so much. Thanks, Stephanie, for your time today. And thank you to the listeners. Please do check out the other episodes in the podcast series, including particularly the one around mental health that we've mentioned. And there are other topics about farm and environment management in there as well. Thanks also to DEFRA, who fund the Farming Advice Service to help farmers and land managers in England understand and meet the legal requirements in English law around certain farming activities to protect people, livestock, and the environment. They also recognise that farming can be a tough industry and they support activity promoting resilience and good mental health and safety. You can find information on our events, our webinars, technical articles, and other online resources at farmingadviceservice.org.uk. And please do follow us on social media at DEFRAFAS. The podcast and newsletter team would always welcome any feedback and suggestions on what else you would like us to be talking about. So please email advice at farmingadviceservice.org.uk or send us a tweet. You can also get in touch if you do need advice on other things. As I mentioned, we can help on farming rules and funding availability. And if you would like to keep up to date with future podcasts, events, news from the Farming Advice Service, you can sign up to the monthly newsletter, which is packed full of timely nudges and relevant advice. You can do that on the FAS website, farmingadviceservice.org.uk. Thanks for your time today. I hope you found this interesting and useful, and we look forward to hearing from you or indeed speaking to you soon.